from our verse, which is Ephesians 6:4, which says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So as you know, we've been going along and we've been looking at the family. We've been looking at what God says about marriage. We looked at the woman's role. We looked at the man's role. And then the past few weeks, we've been looking at the raising of children. And last week, we saw from this verse, we looked at the first part of the verse, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." We looked at that part of the verse. And that spoke about the negative aspect of the verse. We don't want to provoke our children to wrath. And when we are, we talked about this, when we are indefinite and when we are unequal and when we are inconsistent in our discipline, it stimulates our children to become in danger, to become enraged and angered. Then we saw six simple rules to help us to be definite, equal, and consistent. And of course, the first rule was be definite, be fair, be consistent, be non-negotiable, be agreed, and be quick to execute discipline. But today we're going to look at the positive side of the verse, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And grandparents, remember, grandparents, you can be a great help here, especially if you know the Lord, as you share the teachings of the Word of God with your grandchildren. Next week, we're going to begin to look at grandparenting, and we'll have a couple weeks of that, and then we'll wrap up this session on family fundamentals. But, being a grandparent now, it kind of changes your perspective. But you don't want to be that grandparent that winds the kids up and sends them home, and then the parents have to retrain them because they visited grandpa or grandma. You know, we want to be a help and aid and assistance to the raising of our kids. So let's look at that first word, nurture. Nurture. And the meaning of the Greek word behind our English word nurture joins together the idea of instruction and discipline. Okay, it joins together, nurturing, the idea of instruction and discipline. And let's do a little word study here. Turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, the same Greek word, not English word now, the English word is nurture, but the same Greek word is used in 2 Timothy 3:16. And think about this. The idea of the word nurture brings together the idea of instruction and discipline. So I'm going to read 2 Timothy 3:16. Tell me if you know which English word is this Greek word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Anybody have an idea? Reproof? No. 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 Instruction. Okay? Instruction. Same Greek word. So it's the idea of instruction and discipline. Go to Titus chapter 2. Turn your Bible a page or two. Titus chapter 2. See if you can find the English word here. 2:12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Teaching. Okay? Teaching is the same Greek word. Turn back to Luke 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 16, 22. Okay, that's a wrong reference. Maybe it's 12. Let me see. No. All right, we'll skip that one. 16:22. That's the beggar died, right? And the beggar died. No, so it's not that one. Go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 7. Hebrews 12 and verse 7. Hebrews 12, 7 says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?" What's the Greek word here? Chasten and chasteneth. The two, it's the same Greek word there. Okay? And So, you know, we think about this, and we think about when we're nurturing our children, we're instructing them and we're disciplining them. We're discipling them. It has that idea. So when you put these verses together, we can see the meaning of the word is teaching with discipline. Okay? Has the idea of instruction, has the idea of teaching, has the idea of even chastening, okay? So this brings a very important reminder that when we fail to discipline our children, we fail to teach them, okay? Remember, discipline isn't punishment, it's teaching, okay? Yes, it carries an idea of punishment with it, but it's not only punishment. Because if it's only punishment, it doesn't do a whole lot. So this should also teach us parents that discipline is not getting even or punishing, but you're teaching. You know, remember what I think we said it last week. If we are, and this happens sometimes. Sometimes our kids get us really angry by something they do, right? Really angry. And you don't want to discipline them when you are angry. Okay? I'm not for timeouts, but sometimes parents need to take a timeout. Calm down. You know, get over your anger. Do not discipline your child in anger, because discipline is nurturing. Okay? It's instructing. It's disciplining. Okay? Questions, thoughts, comments? Andy. What was that, Luke? Oh, maybe I was dyslexic. Luke 22:16. Well, the word chastise is in there. That's a good possibility. 23:16. I don't know. I'll have to look at my notes at home. I don't know why I went through these. I don't know why I didn't pick that up, but I'll get that out to everybody. So, Bill, you had your hand up? Yeah, we had a few customers like that. So remember, nurture. Bring them up in the nurture. Just even think of that word nurturing. You know, it's not punishment alone, but it's a teaching opportunity, you know. And it's bringing them along. It's helping them to understand. When we discipline, there should be instruction along with it. Do you know why I'm doing this? You know why, you know, we have to do this? Both of my sons came to know the Lord as their Savior as a result of discipline sessions in the home, both of them. You know, why do we have to keep, you know, doing this? Because I'm a sinner. You know, and it was, it brought them to the point where they understood, you know. And so, you know, thankful for that. You know, very, very thankful for that. So keep that in mind, nurturing. But the second part of the verse says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition. Okay? The meaning of the Greek word here, behind our English word admonition, is the idea of confronting problems with the instruction and rebuke from God's word. Now, I grew up in a very strict house, and you know, I did not grow up in a Christian home. My father was a disciplinarian. And, you know, a lot of times when I would ask the question why, his answer was, because I said so. Okay? Now, sometimes that can be a satisfactory answer, but when we think of the word admonition, the idea is confronting these discipline problems with instruction and rebuke from the Word of God. Okay? We have to show them, as we are bringing up our children, okay? We have to show them, not only does this behavior trouble your mom and dad, but this behavior is sin, and it offends God. Okay? So they have to understand, you know, that and we have to understand as parents, we're seeking to lead our children to the Lord. Don't leave that up to the church, to the Sunday school. I mean, sometimes children get saved in Sunday school. Praise God. But, you know, they learn more the whole rest of the week in your home than they do for the few hours a week they're here. Remember that. So, When our children need to be disciplined, it's because they have been disobeying some truth from God's word. Okay? So when you discipline, and when, remember last week we talked about making rules and things like that, and kids work well within perimeters. Okay? A lot of times we don't think that. We like to be, oh, you know, we like our free-range eggs and free-range chickens. You know, we can't have free-range kids. You know, we can't just go do what you want. Just go do what you want. No rules. You know, doesn't work. And so, you know, there have to be rules. And when those rules are broken and discipline has to happen, you have to have a Bible reason for that. Okay? And you have to bring that Bible reason to your kids. Little kids who can't, you know, of course there's training, there's, you know, they got to learn what no means. But we're talking as the child develops, as the child gets older. Do that, okay? Have a Bible reason. Therefore, again, our children need to be disciplined, and it's because they have been disobeying some truth from God's Word. They need to be confronted with the truth of God's Word. All of God's Word is true. And they need to see that, and they need to understand that. And so they need to be instructed by the Word, they need to be brought to repentance by the Word, and they need to be changed by the Word. Okay? So, what is an important tool in the discipline of our children? The Word of God. Okay? And they need to understand that. Okay? Any question before we move to the next point? That's not good. Nope. Yeah, if you're angry like that, you're definitely provoking your child to wrath. I mean, and that's, you know, that borders on child abuse. You know, no, that doesn't border on child abuse. If you're breaking two, but that is child abuse. So, but, you know, we cannot be angry. We cannot be angry when we discipline our kids. And, you know, we need to have a Bible reason. You know, we need to have a Bible reason. So, that I might not sin against thee. Exactly. Exactly. We're going to talk about some of that in a moment. Okay? All right? So notice, B, number 2B, Father, the chief admonisher. This is the Father's chief role. Look at Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Verse 17. So this is God meeting with Abraham, and just before the two angels go on to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Genesis 18, verse 17, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, and he, what does it say? He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." So here God, what a wonderful thing that God says about Abraham. First off, he says, I know him. I know him. And what is he going to do? He's going to command his children and his household. We're going to look a little bit later today during the prayer time at Abraham sending his servant Eleazar to find a bride. Even Eleazar, the way he prays, was a believer. So Abraham commanded his house well. So, friends, it's the father is the chief admonisher. This is the father's chief role. Admonition does not ignore problems. It confronts them. Okay? What do we like to do sometimes? Ignore problems. You're tired. You don't want to deal with this right now. You know. You come home from work, whatever it may be, and your wife's hair is like, bing, you know, and the kids have been like out of control all day, and it's time for dad to do some admonishing. And it's his chief role. When a child does something wrong, they need to be confronted, rebuked, instructed, and disciplined. And that is the father's chief role. Okay? We talked about this a little bit, I think, even last week. You know, there are some times that it gets delegated to mom. If you're here and you're a single mom, you have the difficult position of being also, you know, the disciplinarian. And but it's especially we talked about with the boys and when they get older. I think Pastor Andrew began to talk about that a little bit. It's dad's chief role. You know, he's the one who admonishes. So how do we go about doing this? What are some proactive things we could set up? You know, how can we be on the offense rather than always be on the defense? We don't want to only deal with problems, right? We want to do some preventive maintenance. I was an auto mechanic before I was in the ministry. And, you know, preventive maintenance was key, you know. A lot of times people come in, there's a little red light that looks like a genie jar on my thing, and it's been on all week. Well, that's your oil light, you know. It shouldn't have been on all week, and you know, and now the car is really knocking bad. OK, Can you fix that? You know, and doing some preventive maintenance. So what are things, some things we can do to help in our nurturing and admonition of the Lord? And the first one is the instruction of family worship. Admonition involves both confrontation, yes, and instruction. And a home needs a regular course of Bible instruction. Sunday school and children's ministry are not enough. The previous church I pastored in New York, we had this family. And they were having some discipline problems with their kids. So I went to the home and we were dealing with them and I spoke to the parents. And I said to them, you know, do you do any type of family worship in the house? And here was their answer. We're sending them to Christian school. Isn't that enough? I mean, and they were serious. They were serious, you know, and no, it's not enough. And yes, we want you to bring your kids to Sunday school and the children ministries, but that's not enough. Okay? That's not enough. Set a consistent time for family worship and devotions. Dad, you read the passages from the scripture. And of course, make sure they're age appropriate. You know, you're not going to get into deep theological discussions with your four-year-old. Well, maybe you might, but you know. But do age-appropriate things. There's lots of excellent material out there, you know, Bible stories for when they're children. But get them in that habit. Get yourself in that habit of regular, consistent family worship and devotions. Teach them. Apply them. Ask your kids questions. You know what else it's good to do? Work on a family memory verse. Okay? Your kids will memorize better than you. Okay? That's just how it is. So do something that's easy for you to memorize. No, but you know, but of course we want to train, you know, our kids in this. Pray together. Pray together. And sing together. Even if you don't have a good voice, sing together. Now, don't make family devotions too long, okay? 15, 20 minutes tops. It's not a church service. It's not dad and mom's devotion time. It's for the children. And during that time, don't tolerate mischief or bad behavior, okay? So do that. Set that up. And be as, remember we talked about this last week, be as consistent as you can. Find a time that works best for your family. Maybe it's morning, maybe it's evening, whatever it is, but find a time and be consistent with it. Okay? And remember, Father, you are the director of admonition. You want a title? There you go. Director of admonition. And take the leadership. Delegate that authority to the mother in your absence. But don't forget to do this and get into the habit of doing this. This will help your children's spirituality immensely. Okay? Any questions before we move on? And you don't have to spend any money on this. You read the Bible. Maybe you get a children's Bible book or something, and just start. If your kids are small, if your kids are older, you know, challenge them with the Word and get them in the Word. Don't worry about curriculum. Get them in the Word. Use the Bible. Read passages. You know, as your kids get older, you know, let them participate by having them read the passage. You know, and this is an excellent time. This is us going on the offense and using the Word of God to hopefully and prayerfully cut off some of the problems before they come. Okay? All right? Thoughts, comments? How many of you older grandparents now? Okay? How many of you had family altars when you had your kids, family times of prayer. Anybody? A couple, okay? And that's really, really important, okay? If you don't have it, even if your kids are older now, start it. Do it. It will, you know, the Bible will not at all hurt. Marianne? Yep, yep. I mean, and doing the proverb for the day and going through the year, you know, you think, oh my, I'm going to read the book of Proverbs 12 times. And you know what? Every time you go through, something new comes from the last month, you know. And it's a great blessing. And that is for a little bit older kids, for adults, that's a great, great, great thing to do. Okay? All right, any other questions? All right, so what do we do? A curriculum for family worship, okay? The Bible needs to be central in our family worship, okay? And such topics as these are a must to teach. This is by far not a complete list, okay? You may be dealing with something in your home. Well, what does the Bible say about that? Read about that. Teach them about that. But here's some good places to start. Salvation. Okay? You know, parents, mom, dad, you're the chief evangelist in your home. You know, you are. Don't leave that for the Sunday school teacher, for the Christian school teacher, whatever it may be. You're the chief evangelist in your home. Share the gospel with your children. Teach them what the Bible says about salvation. You know, the fact that we're sinners, the fact that our sin separates us from God, the fact that our sin must be punished, the fact that sinners are eternally separated from God and deserving it, the fact that Jesus died for our sin because God loved us so much He sent His Son. Jesus loved us so much He willingly died. He rose again. And talk about the faith that goes along with that. You're the chief evangelist of the home. If the kids don't hear the gospel from you, you know, who are we relying on them to hear the gospel from? Orderliness, okay, is a good thing. God works from order. Satan works from disorder. What do we mean by orderliness? I mean, we should begin even to teach our kids some order in the home. And, you know, simple rules that making your bed and not keeping your room looking like a tornado just went through it, and you know, and teaching them about this, and having structure in their life. Remember, kids work better under rules and with structure when they know what they have to do. So that's a great topic. Another great topic is honesty. Why do we have to teach about honesty? Because our kids are what? Dishonest. Okay? Who did that? I don't know. Boy, I don't know got blamed for an awful lot in our house, you know. Or not me, you know. And teach them about honesty, which goes along with truthfulness. Lying is never acceptable. If we allow our children to lie, they will continue to lie. And they will be chronic liars. I had a friend growing up who was a chronic liar. And he lied so much, you know, all you have to do is he would get caught. He would forget some of the things he said. And you were like, hey, didn't you tell me? And no, I didn't say that. you know. But of course, you know, truthfulness. Talk about being truthful. Purity. Friends, we live in a filthy world. We live in a filthy world. And let me say something here. If you folks aren't aware of what is going on in Disney, and any of you allow your kids to watch anything Disney, you are failing as parents. Okay? Disney is become a agenda for the LGBTQ. Okay? And the people who run Disney have come out and said they want 50% of their workforce to be in that community. Okay? And don't think it's not coming through in something as innocent as whatever is on there. Okay? Turn it off, unsubscribe from it, and don't allow your kids to watch it. You are the parents, remember. Okay? And don't think, oh, they won't pick it up. Yes, they will. Okay? That rule that's going on in Florida that everybody is up in arms about, including Disney, okay, is not that it's anti-homosexual, but it's just that they don't want anybody teaching anything about any kind of sex education, listen to this, from kindergarten to third grade. And the LGBTQ alphabet is up in arms about this, you know. So don't fall for the innocence of all that. We live in a filthy world, and our kids need to learn to be pure. And the only place, friends, they will learn about purity is in your home and hopefully in the church, you know. Yes, definitely. Definitely. And you know, it's bad, you know, but we have the Word of God, and we can raise up the next generation to be pure, okay? Teach them to be diligent in work and study. Teach them that God deserves our best effort. God deserves our best effort. No half-hearted, you know. When they're obeying mom and dad or disobeying mom and dad, they're learning to disobey or obey God. You know? Take the garbage out. Oh, God. You know? They're doing it. Time to go to church. All right. Some adults go to church that way. You know? Don't be that. Teach them diligence and work and study. Here's a good one. Frugality. I didn't say cheap. Frugal. Do not follow the government's example. Okay? Do not spend money that you don't have. Learn to be frugal. Teach your children, young, to be frugal. Boy, I really want that. Okay, save your money. You know, save your money. Loyalty. Teach them to be loyal to God, to family, to church, to country. Within the right order there. I told our boys that you need to stick up for each other. Okay? If someone is messing with your brother, you better be there right at his side. You know, be loyal. Be loyal. Respect for elders. Look what the Bible says in Leviticus 19. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. respect for elders. We live in a world that just has lost all kinds of respect. And one of the popular things today is, of course, the internet and the blog sphere. And I remember going to a conference once, and a man made a great statement. He says, "There's no gray hair on the web," meaning that anybody can go on the web and they can be an expert and we don't know, you know, who they are. Leviticus 19:32 says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." How were the children of Israel supposed to treat the elderly? With honor and respect. Remember back a few years ago, I don't know if Pastor Andrew was going to Ambassador at the time, but Ambassador was having a problem in their school with some of their kids, and they got involved in following Calvinism, and they knew if a speaker came and he was not a Calvinist, they would close their Bible, and they would turn away during the message. And that's flat out disrespect. These are young, snot-nosed, punk college kids who don't know anything. Okay? Who've never pastored a church. Who think they're the greatest thing to God's gift of theology. So I'm on this one blog sphere, and I knew this one young man. I knew him. And he's pouting all this stuff, and I went off on him, and I even saw him and went off on him. And you know, he laid into me, and he said, "Yeah, well, what would you do if I were in your church?" I said, "I'd have grabbed you by the ear and escorted you out the door. Because you're not going to be used. You're studying to be a pastor, and you're not even a pastor yet, and you have this superior attitude." You know, I had a little bit of superior attitude there too, but again, respect for elders. That starts in the home. Honor thy father and thy mother. Many of you know, no secret, today's my birthday, I'm 60. When my father was 60, I thought he was ancient. And now I'm 60 and I don't feel that old, you know. But, you know, we need to honor our elders. Promptness. Teach them to be prompt. I was taught that if you get there right on time, you're late. Be prompt, okay? Prepare for the, we used to have to take the kids back and forth to the airport. We never lived really close to airport, so we had to either take them back and forth when we lived in New York to Newark Airport or here. Even when we lived up an hour and a half north to Boston or Manchester, it always took time to get there. And I always left time, extra time, even before, you know, and Dale especially. "Oh, why do we have to get up so early? My flight doesn't leave till." Well, there could be traffic. There could be flat tires. And you ain't missing your plane, you know. And teach them promptness. Teach them self-discipline. Look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Got a couple minutes left. Proverbs 16, verse 32. The Bible says, "The lot is cast in the lot." That is another wrong reference. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, it's 32. I was reading verse 33. So it is. Thank you, snot-nosed kid up there. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You know, we have to, kids have no self-discipline. We have to teach them self-discipline. We've seen the temper tantrums and the hissy fits. And then finish the job. So these are good curriculums, good things to teach about. Finish the job. What was Jesus' last words? It is finished. Job's not done until it's done. That includes cleaning up. You know? So fathers, in the matter we have been reasoning about in this lesson, the souls and the character of our children are at stake. You need to master the art of admonition and pour yourself into the task of instructing and confronting your children from the Word of God. It is for their eternal good. Moms, you have a role in this as well. And grandparents, especially we grandparents who know the Lord, maybe your grandkids don't know the Lord. What an opportunity for you to admonish them and bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. What an opportunity. You know, and if your kids do know the Lord and you know the Lord, that's that much more help for the kids coming to know the Lord. Now, I know that some of you grandparents sat through some of this and you said, well, I've already been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, you know, and now, you know, the next week or two, some of you younger people will have to sit through the grandparenting thing. But believe me, if the Lord tarries, you're going to turn around and you're going to be 60 one day. Just like that. And you're going to have grandkids. And you'll maybe remember this fat old gray-haired preacher that told you these things. Maybe you won't. But I hope that this has been helpful. Family fundamentals. Remember, our kids, our grandkids, you know, their souls are at stake. And we can't bring anything to heaven, but we can bring our kids with us, can't we? Let's pray. Father.